Welcome back to the BunSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn. We are now through with 1 week of the college football season. Last week we gave you our thoughts on what we thought might happen, but again, now we have actual results on the field that we can compile and analyze, and we can make all kinds of knee-jerk reactions. In fact, if I recall correctly, last year, my broadcast co-member here on my left told me a year ago that we made way too many knee-jerk reactions. In fact, he wrote an article about it last year after the first weekend that we had way too many knee-jerk reactions. So I assume that the same disease is still prevalent with the college football media and the college football world this year. What were your takeaways from week one?
Well, again, if we looked at last year, remember Texas A&M beat South Carolina pretty handily, and all of a sudden they were going to be in the playoffs, and they didn't have a very good year. So Texas A&M starts off this year with a probably more impressive win.
I would say so.
Arizona State, as they kind of beat them pretty good. At least I'd call 38-17 a pretty good beating.
And that means that they've beaten two top 10 teams or top 15 teams in their last two season openers. South Carolina and Arizona State, both of those away from home. They won that game 38-17.
I think there were three or four really good games, and then there were a lot of games that were just warm-up games, I guess you could say. You know, in college football, you don't have the privilege of having an exhibition game, so some teams had an exhibition game even though it wasn't an exhibition game.
Well, let's talk about some of those games. I want to start right off with one that was early Saturday. I flipped it on, didn't think there would be a whole lot to it, and it ended up being a very interesting game, one-sided on the wrong side. Northwestern 16-6 over Stanford. This is a team that some people had going to the playoff, winning the Pac-12, and here they are. They get dominated by Northwestern.
If you remember, we talked about that a little bit last week, and I said that during the year that Northwestern will rise up and win a game or two that they're not supposed to win, and I was thinking that might be it. Well, it turned out it was.
It was, and a tough way to start for the Stanford, but not just for Stanford, for the Pac-12, because as you mentioned, Arizona State, 38-17 losers to Texas A&M, Stanford 16-6 losers to Northwestern. Another big loser was Texas. Notre Dame throttled them 38-3. Great win for Notre Dame, but where is this Texas program right now?
It's really trying to find its way. I'm not sure where it is. It's under being run over by, if it's not Longhorns, it's some kind of cattle that's running over them because they're getting beat in the ground.
UCLA with a nice win for the Pac-12, 34-16 over Virginia. And then what about the Hail Mary that BYU did at the end there to beat Nebraska 33-28?
Isn't that something? You know, it just shows you that in football, you can think you've got it won, and all of a sudden, it's like grabbing victory out of the jaws of defeat. And it was some kind of play, and it's just something that happens. You can't say it's a... you know, you can't give them a whole lot of credit for being a great play. It's just they throw it up and come down with it.
Let's talk about the teams from the state of Alabama, and we'll start with what happened in Atlanta. Auburn 31-24 over Louisville. The Tigers were outgained, and at the end there, if you're an Auburn fan, you had to be pretty nervous because you at Louisville was knocking on the door of potentially getting the ball back with a chance to tie. What do you take away from this if you're a Tiger fan?
Well, first of all, that started out to be a no contest. It looked like Louisville didn't show up. And then all of a sudden, they changed quarterbacks and changed their momentum. They began to play exciting, play with enthusiasm, and Auburn was up against it. And I think that the three interceptions that the quarterback for Auburn threw didn't help matters any and maybe should have had another one. But it was a very interesting game. I'm not sure how good Louisville. I didn't. Yeah. This was a surprise to me. I didn't think this would be much of a game, and it turned out to be a pretty good game.
A lot of talk about Jeremy Johnson. Three interceptions in that game. The highly touted quarterback for Auburn, he's 11 of 21, 131, one touchdown and three picks. He did also rush for a touchdown. But, again, it's early. Let's not jump to conclusions, and let's not knee-jerk. He could still end up being quite a player for the Tigers. Let's talk about what happened in Arlington, and that is Alabama 35-17 over Wisconsin. An absolutely dominating performance by the Alabama defense, 40 yards on the ground for the Badgers. That's just incredible. And Alabama's offense, maybe not a great start, but they started to gain steam as the game went on, and Jake Coker played pretty well.
Yeah, I think they have to be pleased with their quarterback play, and I imagine they're probably pretty well pleased with their running back play, because Derrick Henry really looked like a real magnificent running back in that game. And then Kenyon Drake gave him a kind of a number two punch, and they were a 35-17 win over Wisconsin is a very impressive win.
It was 13 carries, 147 yards, a trio of touchdowns for Derrick Henry. Kenyon Drake had 10 for 77, and he also had a touch. Other SEC scores of note, Georgia slaughtered Louisiana Monroe, Arkansas no problem with UTEP. Tennessee struggled with Bowling Green for a while, but they were able to pull away. Mississippi scored 76 points. That's a very rare thing. I think the fifth time that's been done in their school's history, and they beat Tennessee Martin 76-3. Mississippi State over Southern Miss. Florida offense looked pretty good over New Mexico State. Still, they have to get to some better competition. Kentucky beat Louisiana, and Missouri beat Southeast Missouri State. So now let's move to week two, and it's of the college football season, and we'll start with a game that's going to be at 2:30 on CBS. Not your traditional CBS matchup. Georgia is going on the road to a very hostile environment. Well, maybe not. They're going to Commodore Stadium to play the Vanderbilt Commodores, and we saw how good Georgia looked against La Monroe, taking a small step up in competition this week as they play Vanderbilt, but I think they'll have no problem. I think Georgia will be all over them. What do you think?
I think you're right on there. I really wasn't impressed in any facet of the game of Vanderbilt. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Their defense played pretty well, but they just really weren't a very good team. But Georgia looked really good. And when you take Nick Chubb and then the other running backs, they really have a strong rushing attack. They got an offensive line that's very good. They got linebackers that are, I think, some of the best in the country. And in a 51-14 win over Louisiana Monroe is quite an impressive win. And they broke in their quarterback as well.
Yeah, I agree. That was a good win. Kentucky's at South Carolina. This is at 6:30 Saturday night on the SEC Network. This is a game flying under the radar. It's not a flashy game that a lot of people are talking about, but very, very important. I think Kentucky could potentially get to a bowl game this year. I think they've got that good of a team. But then you look at South Carolina and Steve Spurrier, and they escaped against North Carolina last week. This is a big, big game for him in that South Carolina program.
Yes. You know, South Carolina's quarterback, Connor Mitch, didn't look all that good, but it probably is a really good thing that he's now got a game under his belt. And they used Pharaoh Cooper in every way they could. They tried to get him the ball. I would imagine they probably had two or three balls on the sideline just ready to pitch to him from there, because they knew that he was the one person who could make a big difference. Now, you remember last year, it looked like that South Carolina was going to have a cakewalk with Kentucky, and they were leading 14-0, and all of a sudden you turn around and look, and they lost 45-38. So this is going to be quite an interesting game. But I think that South Carolina will win the game.
I think they will, too. I think it'll be close. I think Kentucky's got an improved team this year, but I think you're right. South Carolina gets it done. 7 o'clock, ABC, Saturday Night Football. It's going to be all over East Lansing, Michigan. Last year, Oregon hosted Michigan State, and in the second half, the Ducks pulled away, and it wasn't close. Ended up being quite a stretch in that game. But this year, I think it's going to be totally different. I think Michigan State is going to win this football game. I think they have a strong defense. I think Oregon's missing a little something. They weren't all that impressive last week as they played Eastern Washington, Vernon Adams' former school, and now he tries to lead them to another big or Pac-12 title. But I think Michigan State gets it done at home here.
This could be a battle of the quarterbacks, or Connor Cook and Vernon Adams, as they really go at it. Jacob, I would remind you that Oregon does have quite a good runner in Royce Freeman. He had 180 yards on 21 carries. Now, that was against Eastern Washington, but nonetheless, he's a very good running back, and they may have some of the best receivers in the entire country. And this is going to be a game that's worth the price of admission, and we'll just have to see. Oregon did have 485 yards rushing, but the Eastern Washington had 438 yards passing against them. And so I think you might be there onto something. That might be the Achilles heel. While Oregon will have a really strong rushing attack, but can they stop Connor Cook and that passing attack from Michigan State?
Butch Jones is 1-16 against ranked teams when in his tenure at Tennessee, and this week he welcomes a top 20 team, the Oklahoma Sooners, as they come into Knoxville. It's 5 o'clock on ESPN. This is another one I'm taking the home team here, maybe a slight underdog by the time the game rolls around, but I think Tennessee is going to get it done. I really think they're going to start turning that tide, that orange tide there in Knoxville, back in their favor. This is a huge game for the Volunteers, and I think they get it done. I still think Oklahoma wins the Big 12, by the way, but I think Tennessee wins this game.
Well, Tennessee's going to, if they win the game, they're going to have to really, I think, depend on Joshua Dobbs as having a great game, and he's capable of having a great game. And in fact, I just go ahead and say it, the Tennessee Volunteers depends on Joshua Dobbs. Now, Oklahoma, they have quite a good runner in Samajiri Perine.
Yep.
And they really have good linebackers at Oklahoma.
They do.
So I think this will be a really, really good game. Tennessee's 59-30 win over Bowling Green. It had its stretches of looking good, but then the lightning thing, and it kind of turned that game around. So I'm really not sure about Tennessee yet.
So you're going with the Sooners or the
You know, I think
Vols.
Oklahoma will win the game.
Okay. All right. The big game, I think, the game I'm most interested in of all is Saturday night, and it's in Starkville, LSU at Mississippi State. This is an intriguing game. You have Dak Prescott coming back, the quarterback for Mississippi State. But they don't have a whole lot else back on that team this year on the offensive side. They lost running back and a couple of good receivers. And LSU comes in with Brandon Harris, and they're trying to create an offensive attack. But I think they've got a really good defense this year. And I think LSU is going to be able to get the win in Starkville. But I'm curious to see how this game shakes out.
Well, you know, last year, Mississippi State, you know, they really got themselves on the map. They wasn't on the map until they beat LSU 34-19, and that got them moving, and they began to build a lot of momentum, and we know the run they had last year, probably one of the best they've ever had as a program. But Dak Prescott is what they have.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
it.
So goes Dak Prescott, so goes Mississippi State. Well, LSU's got they got quite a good running back when you think about Leonard Fournette. And then they have some really outstanding pass receivers. Now, Mississippi State has a pretty good defense and led by Chris Jones. But I just think that I think LSU will have too much for Mississippi State.
It's going to be another great weekend. We are off and rolling in the college football season. And as you can tell, we've just got so much information coming out here. It's hard to keep track of.
Let me ask you a question,
okay,
Jacob. Does LSU not playing last week because of their canceled game, does that help them or hurt them? Does it give Mississippi State an advantage in that they've now had a game and LSU has not?
No, I think it hurts because you're playing a team in McNeese State that you can roll over. But I also think Brandon Harris needs experience. He really needed that experience game to get some practice against a not very, you know, top competition type team. And this week he's going to be thrown right into the fire in Starkville. You agree?
I agree.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you next week for another edition of the BunSports.com podcast, and we'll have another great slate of games, and we'll review what happens with these games. As always, we cover college football here year-round, but it's that time of year again here, and we're excited. The BunSports.com and the BunSports.com podcast. For the college football professor, I am Jacob Bunn. Have a great college football weekend.